जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन भज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिष्टभाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट 46। यदा यस्य अनुगृह्णाति भगवान आत्मभावितः सजहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्य अनुगृह्णाति भगवान आत्मभावितः सजहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभावितः सजहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभावितः स जहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभाविता सजहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभावितः स सजहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। लेडीज प्लीज। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवान् आत्मभावितः स जहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभावितः स जहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। वुड यू लाइक टू ट्राई? यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभावितः स जहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। वेरी गुड। यदा, वेन, यस्य, हुम, अनुगृह्णाति, फेवर्स बाय कॉजलेस मर्सी, भगवान द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, आत्मभावितः, रियलाइज्ड बाय अ डिवोटी, सह Such a devotee, jahati, gives up, matim, consciousness, loke, in the material world, vede, in the Vedic functions, cha, parinishthitam, fixed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows His causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. Purport. This is a long purport, more than 2 pages, almost 3 pages. So, in the previous verse, those who are in knowledge have been described as unable to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, this verse indicates that those who are followers of the Vedic rituals, as well as those who are followers of fruitive activities, are unable to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In these two verses, both the karmis and jnanis are described as unfit to understand Him. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, only when one is completely free from mental speculation and fruitive activity, anya abhilashita shunya jnana karma dinavritam, one can engage in pure devotional service without being polluted by material desires. The significant word Atmabhavita indicates that the Lord is awakened in one's mind if one constantly thinks of Him. A pure devotee is always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayoho. A pure devotee cannot remain a moment without being absorbed in the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This constant thinking of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita as Satata Yuktanam, always engaging in the Lord's service, bhajatam pritipurvakam. This is devotional service in love and affection. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead dictates to the pure devotee from within, the devotee is saved from all material activities. Even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are considered material activities, because by such activities one is simply elevated to the other planetary systems, the residential abodes of the demigods. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 25, यान्ति देवव्रता देवान् पितृन् यान्ति पितृव्रता भूतानि यान्ति भूतेज्य यान्ति मद्याजिनोऽपि माम्. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. And those who worship me will live with me. The word Atmabhavita also indicates that a devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditioned souls. It is said of the six Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipanau, Saddharma Samsthapakau Lokanam Hitakarinau. A pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotees, attempt to deliver fallen souls and The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotees' attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by His causeless mercy. If a devotee is blessed by another devotee, he becomes free from karmakanda and jnanakanda activities. As confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Durlabham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be realized through karmakanda and jnanakanda. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. The Lord is easily realized only by a sincere devotee. This material world, the cosmic manifestation, is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entities have come here to enjoy themselves. The Vedic instructions guide them according to different regulative principles, and intelligent people take advantage of these instructions. Thus they enjoy material life without being disturbed. This is actually illusion, and to get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is very difficult. The general populace is engaged in material activities, and when people are little advanced, they become attracted by the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. However, when one is frustrated in the performance of these ritualistic ceremonies, he again comes to material activities. In this way, both the followers of the Vedic rituals and the followers of material activities are entangled in conditional life. These people get the seed of devotional service only by the goodwill of Guru and Krishna. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. When one is engaged in devotional service, he is no longer attracted to material activities. When a man is covered by different designations, he cannot engage in devotional service. One has to become freed from such designative activities, sarvopadi vinirmuktam, and become pure in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead through purified senses. Hrushikena Hrushikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. The service of the Lord through purified senses is called Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. The sincere devotee is always helped by the super soul who resides within the heart of every living entity, as Lord Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text number 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is the stage of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. At such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee, and his engagement in the material activities ceases completely. At that time, he attains the favor of the Lord and loses his faith in material civilization, which begins with Varnashram Dharma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks clearly of one's becoming liberated from the Varnashram Dharma, the most exalted system of human civilization. At such a time, one frees himself to be perpetually the servant of Lord Krishna, a position taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Naham vipro nacha narpatir napi vaishyo nashudro naham varni nacha grihapatir no vanastho yatirva किंतु प्रोद्यन निखिल परमानंद पूर्णामृताब्धे गोपी भर्तुर पद कमलयोर दास दासानुदास। आई एम नॉट अ ब्राह्मण क्षत्रिय वैश्य और शूद्र। आई एम नॉट अ ब्रह्मचारी गृहस्थ वानप्रस्थ और सन्यासी। व्हाट एम आई? आई एम द इटर्नल सर्वेंट ऑफ द सर्वेंट ऑफ द सर्वेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा। थ्रू द डिसिप्लिक सक्सेशन वन कैन अटेन दिस कंक्लूजन विच इज परफेक्ट एलिवेशन टू द ट्रांसेंडेंटल प्लेटफॉर्म। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Yada means when, anugrahnati, one is favored by causeless mercy, Bhagavan Atma Bhavitaha, the result of that mercy is that one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one's true friend and guide. It also removes certain other things. Sajahati matim loke. It removes material consciousness. It removes material activities. Vedecha and the tendency to be ritualistic. Or said differently, the tendency to follow the Vedas for some other motive other than serving Krishna. And parinishtitam, such consciousness becomes fixed. So we wonder, what is our methodology for progressing in spiritual life? Sometimes we think that if I engage in my bhakti very nicely, then I will advance. Actual advancement comes from the mercy of Krishna. And more importantly, it comes, what we use the phrase, descending mercy. Although it is mercy of Krishna, it has to be extended to us by another devotee. Until that time, we cannot access mercy of Krishna in a very specific way. We can access mercy of Krishna in a general way. There is sunlight for everyone. There is air for breathing. There is food. Somehow or the other, food is situations can be taken care of. Other necessities of life can be taken care of. Maintenance of one's body, maybe, that can be taken care of. But the actual mercy that reveals Krishna as a person, that reveals Krishna as someone who's very loving and that we can love him back, that has to be extended by a person, by a devotee. Until that time, it will not be possible. So this descending mercy through the agency of the Vaishnava is what actually makes us advance in Krishna consciousness. The modality of accessing that mercy is our engagement in the process of sadhana bhakti. The guru and the Vaishnavas give us that mercy of Krishna packed in the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Here, if you follow this, you will realize Krishna's mercy. So when we approach pure devotional service or sadhana bhakti in that mood, that this is something my guru and Vaishnavas have given me so I can realize Krishna, then our engagement in bhakti has a different taste and experience. Otherwise, it is no different than another ritual. Prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, we would have some rituals. Either worship demigods or our own self-concocted ritual. For those who were religious. For those who were not religious, there is no ritual. They had their own rituals of living through life. Or living life. Some self-concocted ritual. It doesn't work. So this this causeless mercy does not come from cultivating jnana for the sake of jnana, knowledge, by reading a lot of books or even reading the Vedas. One will not get that very specific mercy that's being spoken about here. By performing Vedic rituals also, one will not get that mercy. So our whole Krishna consciousness is dependent on this descending mercy. So last night, so I'm going to continue from there. Last night, Jai Jagannath Prabhu ended the class with the idea of celebrating Balaram Jayanti is all about what regard we have in our heart for Guru Tattva, he said. So this is continuing from there. This is sort of a perfect verse to understand that. Our relationship with Krishna cannot be possible without other Vaishnavas involved in it. We cannot say only me and Krishna. Other devotees are too difficult to deal with. It's not possible. In fact, how we deal with each other is where we realize Krishna's presence. However difficult that might seem, that's where we actually realize Krishna's presence. If that were not the case, even if we were serving Krishna, you know, very conscious, I'm cooking for Krishna, or I'm dressing Krishna, or I'm singing for Krishna, or I'm preaching for whatever it is, even if that is clear, if the medium, that's what the devotees, our hearts are not proper, then we will not realize Krishna as a person. We cannot fully access the reciprocation Krishna gives. So Prabhupada focuses, another point is in this word, Atma Bhavita. And he gives a couple of meanings. He says, Atma Bhavita means, one meaning, that the presence of the Lord is awakened in the heart of a person who is always thinking of Him. So to always think of Krishna, one should be not thinking of other things. And one thinks of other things because the heart has other things present. Anya abhilasha, other desires, other aspirations, other little hurdles, blocks, jnana, karma, adi. Either pursuit of knowledge, or fruit of mentality, etc. Or just caught in the day-to-day moving of the material energy. This is very easy to get caught into this, because of bodily identification. Very easy. So, our method of remembering Krishna is a progressive method. Yesterday, we remembered Krishna about 1 in 10,000 times. Today, our goal is to remember Krishna 2 in 10,000, 1 in 10,000 times. That's actually double. Like that. It's progressive. And for that progression to happen, there is a prerequisite. The prerequisite is bhajatam pritipurvakam. That whatever little affection we have in our heart, it's not that nobody can say that I have no affection. It's not possible. It's not like we are carrying a desert or, you know, the heart is completely vacant. It's not true. We have a lot of love. We have a lot of love for ourselves. Like there's no dearth of that. We have a lot of love for something else. So there's a lot of love. Except very little or none for Krishna. But that's where we're starting, which is fine. So whatever little is there, whatever little we can direct towards Krishna, that's where the progression begins. And the cultivation of sadhana bhakti is to deposit into that department little love day after day. And most of us, many of us, don't know what love is. Either because we have not experienced real love, or even if you have experienced love, that love has a nature that it attaches us to the source of that artificial source of that love. So then we become attached. Called, in Prabhupada's language, family, friends and society. Like that. So the process of sadhana bhakti is to redirect that loving propensity towards Krishna. And more importantly, connected to the previous point, it is directed towards Krishna through the devotees. So if one is trying to escape the devotees and try to be a devotee, it's not possible. Impossible. Then here's what will happen. The persons we preach to, they will come and circumvent right through us and want to connect to Krishna. Then we'll be in the same problem. So loving propensity towards Krishna can only be manifested through or with other devotees. Otherwise one cannot become Atma Bhavita. It's a struggle, yes, but that's the method. Anything else is impossible. Another meaning of Atma Bhavita is, Prabhupada says, is always engaged in preaching. Well, I shouldn't say preaching like that. Preaching is more, doesn't have to be outside. Preaching. Always engaged in preaching means he's not selfish. He thinks of Krishna in a more, in the sense of, why only me, why not others? Why only should I serve, why not others? Not in the negative connotation. Prabhu, can you do this service? Why only me, why not others? Not like that. Why should I only have the great privilege of serving? Why not others who don't know about Krishna? This sentence can be really misused thoroughly. Although we have a great competition for serving Krishna, I want to serve. At the same time, it is also, I would like others to serve along with me. Not, I would like them to serve and not me. Along with me. This is Atma Bhavita. And then Prabhupada gives us the consciousness of a pure devotee. The pure devotee thinks of delivering all the fallen souls. So thankfully, or at least I can say for myself, I'm not a pure devotee. Although we do fall into the wrong PDS. There is one right PDS. The correct PDS is pure devotional service. The wrong PDS is pure devotee syndrome. We shouldn't fall into that. When we fall into that, then suddenly we, our whole attention is on delivering the conditioned souls, even if I go to hell, that's all right. Then the Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, everyone will go back to Godhead, I will knock on the, one of the three doors in hell. Which door would you like? At the young stage of Krishna consciousness, we're very concerned about our spiritual life. We're very concerned. We're very concerned in almost a selfish way, because we have received this unique gift after many, many, many lifetimes of resistance. So we need to nurture this carefully before we can start distributing. So like Himanshu does Tulsi service. By the way, thank you for doing this. Since then, there has been less early morning agitation. But suppose there were some Tulsi plants here that had like four leaves on each plant. And Himanshu decided, I will use these plants for plucking leaves. He plucked all four leaves away. Then the Bhakti Lata is standing without any leaves. So when there are only four leaves, that Bhakti Lata is carefully nurtured till she has abundant leaves. Then those leaves are plucked and given. But with four leaves, take. Then Bhakti Lata is gone. There's nothing to... And by the way, leaf is very important for a plant to survive, right? Why? Little biology class, without leaf, no photosynthesis, no nourishment. No nourishment means death. So we should know that our nourishment of our bhakti creeper is very, very... In fact, it is the most important task. The distribution is later on the order of Guru. Please, now share. Oh. Even great personalities, when they were called upon to do something like that, they hesitated first. Really? I'm not sure. No, you're completely being protected by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. Don't worry. Okay, when that assurance is there, yes. Case in point, Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata, before he became Maharaj Priyavrata, is the older brother of King Uttanapada. And he retired into the mountains while his younger brother took up the kingdom. But when Maharaj Uttanapada passed away, Priyavrata was called back. Please come and become the emperor of the world and share as a Raja Rishi. No. He had three personalities come to convince him to do this. Lord Brahma, Swayambhuva Manu, and Narada Muni. Then he said, yeah, okay, I'll take up this service. Also in the story of Narottam Das Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur had this earnest desire that Sri Lokanath Goswami should become a spiritual master. But Lokanath Goswami said, no disciples. I don't want disciples. Please, without you being my spiritual master, I cannot survive. No. I am not taking any disciples. So although he was a prince, Narottam Das Thakur came from an aristocratic family, he very humbly used to clean the place where Lokanath Goswami used to go to relieve himself each morning. With his own hands, he swept and cleaned that particular, it's called Kunja, a little garden-like place, so that it's clean and nice when Lokanath Goswami comes every morning. Very, very menial, humble, earnest way of trying to somehow attract this anugrahnati, this little descending mercy. So even then, Lokanath Goswami was very surprised. Who's this? Who's doing this wonderful service every day? And when he came to know it was Narottam Das, he said, "What are you doing? You're such an aristocrat, you're a prince, please don't do this. No, all I'm looking for is a little drop of your mercy that you can see that I'm sincere to be your disciple." No. Finally, Lord Chaitanya had to appear in Lokanath Goswami's dream and say, "I'm ordering you, please initiate Lokanath." "Okay, if it is your order like that, then yes, I will do this service." So two messages. One is preaching should not be immature or immaturely taken up, although preaching is for everyone. It should not be immaturely taken up. And second is we should spare no expense in effort to somehow or the other get a little drop of mercy from Guru and the Vaishnavas. Whatever we can do, whatever we have done, how much ever we have expended our energies in getting one drop of mercy from a devotee, here Prabhupada uses the phrase, blessings of a Vaishnava. That is perfectly invested expenditure. So preaching generally is, you know, like this really fashionable service. It is not fashionable. It is a lot of service. And it's not sufficient to just go. So let's define preaching. There are aspects to preaching. The basic aspect, which is true for everyone, and everyone should do, especially as followers of Lord Chaitanya and the members of Srila Prabhupada's family, everyone should do, is facilitate another person's connection to Krishna or introduction to Krishna. However that happens, prasadam, book, kirtan, very nice word, welcoming them nicely, whatever it is, in whatever feature it manifests, this must be done by everybody. But that's not preaching in its proper connotation. We use the word preaching actually. It's a very biblical or a Christian sort of term. The phrase that Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj uses, is being fixed in the happiness, being fixed in seeing the other person happy. This is preaching. I'm forgetting that phrase from that verse. What is that verse? I'm Na pararthanishta. Thank you. Pararthanishta. Pararthanishta. Here, like it says, parinishtitam. Nishta means fixed. That's why brahmacharis are called naishtika brahmachari, because they're fixed. Or those who are fixed in celibacy, they are called naishtika. So, pararthanishta means my life's goal is nothing but seeing the other person happy. This is preaching. This is the highest degree of preaching. And that has to be empowered by Guru and the Vaishnavas. If it is prematurely taken, then it is like the four-leafed Tulsi Bhakti Lata freely distributing her leaves away and then withering away. So it should be done carefully, under guidance, and with a lot of protection. But meeting people must be done by everyone. Then, Prabhupada describes how the descending mercy removes material absorption. How do I know that I am receiving mercy from Guru, Vaishnavas and Krishna? Well, is my consciousness changing? Is my absorption changing? Now absorption changes and then it changes back. Because receiving descending mercy is a very dynamic process. It is not a one-time process. You know, 7 years ago I received a lot of mercy from Vaishnava and Guru, and I'm still withdrawing from that. when I'm scraping the little vessel of mercy that's there, and the last little drop, and somehow waking up to show up for Mangala Arati. Because 7 years ago I received a lot of mercy, and now really I don't have. Mercy is a day by day. It's a day by day refill. And if it's not being refilled day by day, because we're definitely spending it moment by moment, it has to be refilled carefully, consciously, deliberately, sincerely, conscientiously. Then is jahati matim loke, that the absorption will move from material sphere to the transcendental sphere. In between, there is a little trap, the Vedic rituals. Because the Vedas are meant to show us Krishna, right? The reason we say initiation is second birth is because the father, spiritual master, along with the mother, the Vedas, gives birth to the disciple or to transcendental life. So although the Vedas are what we have to follow, we have to be careful to not fall into the trap of the rituals of the Vedas. The ritual doesn't just mean moving incense, not that ritual. The ritual is the tendency to be ritualistic in our approach to Krishna. The ritualistic approach is, if I do this, I will get this. If I do this, I will get this. And if I don't do this, then something bad will happen to me. That is a ritualistic approach. The proper approach is, if I don't have a relationship with Krishna, then I'm lost again. And that is why I want to do, or that is why I want to engage myself on this path of devotional service. And Krishna helps. We don't have to feel that we are alone. Krishna will help us. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. So there are two elements. Satata yuktanam, always engaged, and pritipurvakam, engaged lovingly. Then Krishna says, dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. I help. I'm very eager to help. This morning we're hearing Prabhupada saying, Krishna is actually very, very eager to help. Krishna wants us to come back to God. Krishna wants us to be with Him. He's more eager than we are. He's only looking for us, from our side, the cultivation of satata yukta and priti purvaka. Then one is released of jahati matim loke, is thinking, I am brahmana, I am kshatriya, I am vaishya, I am shudra, I am brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, good looking, bad looking, intelligent, not intelligent, dull headed, really blessing to this world, a curse to this, all of that. I'm simply a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So that's the method. In this verse, Lord Chaitanya is describing that when we have that consciousness that I'm the servant of the servant of the servant, that is when the descending mercy actually descends. Until then it will not. So we are serving the Vaishnavas. We are only meager assistants to the Guru in whatever we are doing. And to the Guru does not mean we have blinders on. That I only see Guru and no one else. Yeah? All the other devotees become ghosts. I can't see any of them. I just see Guru. And here I come. Anyone who comes in my way, beware. Because I'm fulfilling the order of my Guru. This is not right. Guru means Vaishnava Sangha also. Otherwise the Guru is just like we say, Krishna is never alone. Guru is also never alone. Whole Sangha Vaishnavas exist. Now we may not have warmest of relationships with everyone. Not possible. We were hearing from memories of Srila Prabhupada, and there is one disciple of Prabhupada. Her name is Mother Jahnava Devi. And she asked Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, when I am chanting Hare Krishna, can I think of benefit of all the living entities?" And Prabhupada became very heavy. Surprisingly, with her, all of Prabhupada's answers were like super sledgehammer answers. Prabhupada became so heavy. All living entities? All living entities? You know all living entities? You don't know any. How many living entities do we know? And the ones we know, how many do we really feel wonderful to be with? But yet the mood is Sarve Jana Sukhino Bhavantu. And that takes, you know, lifelong preparation and cultivation. So whoever we know and whoever we serve and work with, let's have nice, warm relationships with each other. Not that challenges will not be there. Challenges will be there. In fact, that's what is the opportunity. The challenge is an opportunity to either make the relationship or break it. Anyway, 20 thoughts, comments? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for your class. The question I'm about to ask may or may not have a straight answer, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. We've been hearing the importance of developing regard for a devotee as essential to making advancement in spiritual life. And you were also very nicely explaining today that without receiving the mercy of that Vaishnav, then, you know, how much advancement can we really make? Not much. So I was thinking, and I think that different devotees, I'm speaking a little personally now, different devotees may require different amounts of, focus to develop that kind of faith in a devotee. Some people may be a little bit more simple-hearted. They may get that faith very easily. Some people may be a little bit more complicated and may require a little bit more immersion into hearing, chanting, different kinds of activities to get that kind of faith. And I was just thinking, sometimes we may have to turn down a particular service or some activity for the sake of doing something else that we see is necessary to deepening our faith in a particular devotee. But as you were nicely pointing out, we are in a society of devotees and we have to serve all the Vaishnavas and we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, and but we know where we're at, you know. So this gets a little complicated sometimes.
Right.
You know, and also the false ego pops up. We don't want to be seen as a devotee who doesn't like to do service. So then we end up saying yes to everything. And then we end up being the losers because we haven't fully cultivated the faith in that devotee that we're supposed to cultivate faith in, whose mercy will help us advance. So I don't know if there's a answer, but I'd like to hear how you maybe dealt with this in your own personal life. If you had to, maybe you can share some advice.
You know, a devotee is supposed to serve everyone. But Prabhupada also said, a servant of everyone is servant of no one. Which means, like you said, if we know that we are operating on the basis of false ego, then we are not serving anyone anyway. So better to serve with the real ego. I am a servant. And it manifests sometimes, and it does not manifest most of the times. True for any one of us. But what's important is to be honest. That I really would like to help. Here is what I'm dealing with. And there can be some discussion. You know, spiritual life is not military. Blah, order, and yes, march on. Some things are like that. You know, if everything has to be discussed, then it's also painful. Yeah. Prabhu, can you please, let's say, wipe the table? You know, Prabhu, I really would like to serve, but you know, it takes like 20 minutes to discuss whether to wipe the table or not. I mean, that's really silly. For a 3-second service, if it takes 20 minutes of discussion, because what I heard in Bhagavatam class is supposed to be discussed, this is silly. Can you please move the mic back there. You know, I really like to be service. There was a whole discussion around it. Not necessary. At the same time, two things are very important. That our own bhakti lata is nourished. And second, we are guided how to nourish it. So I have four leaves on my bhakti lata and I see a little cockroach crawling. If I don't ask Gokulananda Prabhu what to do, I might spray something. The cockroach, nothing will happen to him. The four leaves will fall. At the end of the day, the cockroach is still happy and moving around. And Gokulananda Prabhu is not happy. But the bhakti lata leaves have gone. He has to be guided. He has to say, spray this, not that. Do this, not that. Discussed, guided. A life that is not guided, even if it is sincere, one can sincerely go in the wrong direction. Correct? Isn't Prabhupada say that? That the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I may be very well intentioned. I might just find myself somewhere. Because I didn't know how to do something. So the wealth of Vaishnava association means guidance. Nothing wrong. It doesn't have to be some superstar Vaishnava to ask, you know. You can just ask the person next to us. What do you think? Even if they are, let's say, spaced out. Just to ask, what do you think? Krishna is pleased with that. Most of them go, I don't know, Prabhu. But at least it's the spirit. The spirit is what we're talking about. But guidance must be from a proper Vaishnava. Yes? Okay.
Sometimes I feel that certain association is not good for our son, and I think that taking him away from such an association would be a good thing to do. So, and you're saying that running away from devotees and that's not really beneficial for one's Krishna consciousness, but he's young and he doesn't see the benefit of certain directions that have been given to him, but certain, being a child, you know, peer association is kind of more influential sometimes than what parents are saying. So
I'm waiting for you to finish. You're done?
No, I won't say more than this.
You won't, because it's on Facebook all over the world.
Maybe that's one of the reasons I said it, because
yeah.
Many parents face this, but they don't speak about it. So I thought, since it's more closer to the heart, like our situation.
What's the question?
I do feel sometimes, like strong feelings that he will be better off without certain association. Even though they are devotees. Not because he's my child in a very objective way. He has certain propensities which are very devotional, which in right association just comes out very naturally. But being a child, there are certain association which is, I don't think, beneficial, and certain adults don't take a very strong devotional approach towards situation. So because a soul has this enjoying propensity, you know, even though he's in a child's body, that because of that propensity to enjoy is there, it's easier for the soul to go to the enjoying propensity than to come to devotional propensity, because devotional propensity seems to be very restricting. And how do you explain? It's easy to explain to an adult, but how to explain to a child that he gets it? It's kind of a frustration. So sometimes as a mother, I feel that, oh, the best thing is to just take him away from such a situation.
Right. Well, it's not easy. Parenthood is so challenging. And each parent has to come up with a solution that still maintains the principle that without devotee association one cannot grow. So there has to be devotee association. What kind of association? That is for the parent to work it out. And how? So how to work it out is engage. I've also been thinking about it, so I don't think I have a fixed answer. But engagement. Engaged here in something, so there is less engagement there. Another is fewer, far in between interactions. You don't kill it completely. It's a child.
Even though he has more devotional association, the point I was making is because the conditioned soul has a strong propensity for sense gratification, even a little bit of that association, kind of the experience is so much more overpowering where he is
That's
today
correct.
Than a lot more time given to the good association.
And this is not now true, not just for a child, but it is true for anyone whose bhaktilata has four leaves. The vulnerability is very high to minimal exposure. So very much in the beginning, our method of keeping the bhaktilata strong or nourished is to counteract with heavy or good association. You cannot not expose. That's not our process. You cannot say, if you go out there, let's say for book distribution or Harinam, and it is summertime, and people are wearing scanty clothes, and it's going to disturb the mind. During summer, nobody goes out. We're all indoors chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? What did you say? Quarantine. Nobody goes out. Because even a little of that association out there, whew, whether a child or not, it's the same principle. Our method is not don't expose. Our method is that we are, I'm forgetting that word, inoculated. It is our responsibility as parents or their responsibility as gurus or trainers to make sure that the followers are inoculated. So for that, the followers have to be tested. You take a little blood sample, figure out how much contamination is there. At the same time, the times that that interaction is not there, parents, whoever, gurus, make sure that the inoculation is really strong. And our process works like this. Now I'm not including the gurus, I'm talking about parents. When parents are inoculated, children are inoculated. I'm realizing this far more. Always the case. When the caregivers are nourished or inoculated, the others are inoculated. Cannot not expose. It's not possible. In the case of a child, maybe. Maybe. Depends though. It's a difficult topic. So I don't have a clear answer, honestly. Especially because I'm involved in it as a parent. Maybe someone else can say. Anything else? 8:30. Last question, we'll stop.
Hare Krishna. You were mentioning that we have to, and Prabhupada mentions, we have to put a fence around the tree.
Correct.
So it doesn't get damaged. And we have to fly our own airplane, right? And we have to save the world but save ourselves in order to save others. And we can't, a servant of everyone is a servant of no one, and we try to serve everyone. And we also find that Srila Prabhupada he had some disciples who were in the movement for maybe a year, but he would send them across the world to open a preaching center. And do we chalk that up to, as you said, the Guru's special protection and mercy? And if so, if that's Prabhupada's special blessings to them, can we also get those blessings by following the order of the spiritual master, even if it seems like it's something heavy?
Answer is yes. Something that I think about, and to a large degree it is fairly true, if not universally true, the kind of conviction and surrender that Prabhupada disciples had towards Prabhupada, the new generation doesn't have towards their gurus. May not be universally true. I cannot say that every one of us is like that. I cannot say that, because there are wonderful examples. But in general, it seems like that. The faith which, you know, here's, you know, Jitendra Prabhu sitting there. There's so many Prabhupada disciples who didn't worry. They just got so attracted to Prabhupada. That's it. If I serve this devotee of Krishna, Krishna will take care. It was so clear to them. In some cases, it was really, they just jumped in. Maybe they didn't know how to take care of other things, so the consequences were not so great. But it's that faith in Prabhupada that really has nourished them like anything. We're more cautious. We first make sure everything's all right, money's all right, family's all right. Okay, I can take a small step now. That too, you know, I have all my conditions. So the empowerment is also trickling down like that. Because my feeding pipe is not, you know, this pipe, it's a little catheter. You know what's a catheter? Yeah. It's like this fine pipe that they insert into the vein so that you get a little medicine. So we're all working with catheters as our feeding pipes. Ah, today I got a lot of mercy. Versus big pipe. So the whole process of sadhana bhakti is to expand that pipe. Let mercy flow without any impediment. The impediment is I'm putting that impediment. I'm constricting it. You know, when the mercy flows from Krishna, it flows, let's say, in a through a pipe that is 12 feet in diameter, in diameter, or even radius, let's say. When it comes to us, it comes through a catheter. What happened? Funneled all the way. Little trickle somewhere. And please add something.
This kind of society, how do you, it seems that there's a great challenge in keeping faith in devotees,
right,
in our society.
Now we've been talking about this in the past. Like,
I mean, this has been a meditation for me for many months now, that in so many, aside from just the differences amongst devotees, but the fall downs, you know, from various gurus and other leaders, then the backlash that comes from that, from various even senior members of the society, right, etc. And I was thinking about this word yesterday, as you were explaining it, it's some, you know, sometimes I just feel like crying, because I'm like, the situation is so heavy.
Right.
And Prabhupada's time, it was just Prabhupada, and it was like, no question. But here, you know, you see these things happening, then you're wondering, well, what's the situation, you know, doubts are coming. So how do we nourish faith, even in our own gurus, in the society?
I think you have more realization on this than I do. So you can speak with so much more potency on this than I can. Regardless of all of this, the principle is still true. Our faith is in the principle. Generally what happens for us is because something manifests, our faith in the principle goes away. And that's not correct. Our faith in a particular, let's say, relationship or devotee may vanish, may become less. But faith in the principle should not go away. Because, you know, let's say with Krishna, something, you know, some mercy comes in a particular way. Oh, there is no God. I came to a conclusion, there is no God. Even after studying all these books, and I, you know, finally I've come to this understanding that this is all just mind games. There is no God. We cannot give up faith in a principle. So we keep nourishing that someday Krishna will, like you did, someday Krishna, that principle is true, universally true. Just my circumstances may be this or that, and whatever reason, I don't know. Krishna wants to teach me something, prepare me for something now, for, you know, something major in my life later, I don't know. Could be anything. But the principle still is true. Without devotee association, one cannot progress in bhakti. You want to add something to this point? You know, I debated a lot if I should speak the lecture in this, but I said, you know what, better this way.
Personally, this has also been on my mind for some months. And just my personality is, as you know, is very different from his. I'm more the reactory, like I want to react, I want to say, do, something has to happen. But I'm learning the wisdom that comes in his association. It's like, in tough circumstances like this, when we look up to our older generation of Prabhupada disciples, and when things are going wrong, or when two very wonderful Vaishnavas have differences of opinion, and how to reconcile with that, especially when we look up to both of them, and it's kind of hard, like, you know, as if we have to choose between the two, and I used to always feel it's not fair, you know, it's not fair. Something that has kept me inspired and motivated for both of us is to literally call out to Srila Prabhupada, and going back to that connection, the grandfather. So if two parents are having some issues, go to the grandfather, and feeling presence of Srila Prabhupada, and, you know, and just being the dog, like, you know, the master will take care of, and crying out, you know what's happening, and I'm sure you're far more concerned than we are. You know, and I know that you'll take care of it, or some kind of a very personal prayer to him like that. Either whatever the issue is, it gets resolved, or even if it doesn't get resolved, it's like some kind of a very, like Nitai Pada Kamala, that kind of a soothing feeling comes, just taking shelter of Prabhupada like that. Yes, it's not fair. Sometimes it really feels it's not fair that that our generation has to sometimes face these kind of challenges. And just yesterday night I was asking my husband, you know, is there a way that we can really reach out to the top level and say it's not fair that you people have differences of opinion, and, you know, and then we are put in circumstance where we have to choose between this leader and that leader, and what's going on, you know, it kind of weakens the faith in the process. And he said that have faith in Prabhupada. That's where the shelter should go. And everything will. And I think it's very soothing. And when I think like that, I really feel Prabhupada's presence. Yesterday evening also, when Vishnujan Prabhu asked you the question in the Sunday feast class, I wanted to share this with him. You know, it's not just, you're not alone. And many times we think we are alone who is suffering from this. Actually, we are not alone. There are many devotees who are very sincere, who want to really surrender to the process and dedicate their life in service full time. Sometimes you question, you know, am I surrendering for this? Like, you know, and do I want to do this? Especially, I feel that many times when certain challenges come, because for me, being a woman, taking the easy route is always the option I go for. Oh, let's take the easy route out. Like, but I think, yeah, Prabhupada is there. And something that I'm meditating is, Prabhupada gave everything for this movement. He's there. So I don't think, bottom line, anything drastic will happen. He'll make sure that it will continue. And if I'm in a situation where I'm getting disturbed by what's happening, I'm just seeing that Krishna is giving me an opportunity to just strengthen my faith in Prabhupada and in the process. And rest of it is in Prabhupada's hand. Even though we are serving in some capacity, in whatever capacity here, but we are not the doers. Prabhupada will take care. At least, I don't know if the right way of thinking, but at least it's comforting. And it keeps the faith and the enthusiasm to go on every day. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I have a request. When we honor sannyasis and very senior devotees like that, that's nice. Generally it is said in front of the deities, so we don't jai each other. I'm very tiny. Although sitting here is just service. Personally for me, I request, please don't say. I appreciate the gesture, I appreciate completely your loving expression. From my side, I don't know how to handle it. It's difficult for me, because I float around thinking, oh, everyone said jai to me. So help me, please.
I'm leader
is trying to be, I'm not fearless yet. So please. Help me. Thank you.